Welcome, and thank you all for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. I would like to remind everyone that today's call is being recorded. If you have any objection, please disconnect at this time. And I would like to hand the call over to the U.S. Department of Education. Speakers, you may proceed.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the second pre-application webinar for the Native American Alaska Native Children in School Grant Competition, also known as NAM. This is the second and final webinar designed to review the application process, competition priorities, and GEPR measures, as well as to answer any questions you may have about the grant competition itself. My name is Francisco Lopez, and I am a NAM program specialist in the Office of English Language Acquisition, also known as OELA, here at the U.S. Department of Education. Joining me on this webinar from OELA are my colleagues Steve Van Pelt and Feng Yu Zhang, program officers in our Discretionary Grants Division. In addition, we are also excited to have Ron Petraka from the Office of General Counsel. We are very excited to be offering this grants opportunity and are grateful to all of you listening in and to everyone who has submitted their intents to apply so far. The administration is committed to equity and access for all students, and the NAM program is one way we can improve equity for English learners. So again, we thank you for your interest and commitment to serving English learner students and the educators that support them. A few housekeeping points regarding this slide. You must dial into the conference line in order to hear the webinar. Hopefully everyone can hear us clearly. Also, please note that all phone lines will be placed on mute as the operator indicated throughout the presentation. This webinar series is intended to provide technical assistance to applicants preparing applications for the NAM 2016 grant competition. However, all potential applicants should review the Notice Inviting Applications, also known as the NIA, in the Federal Register. The NIA is the best source of information regarding the NAM 2016 grant competition. In addition, detailed application instructions can be located on grants.gov by searching for the NAM grant competition by CFDA number 84.365C. Application instructions can also be found on the NAM applicant information site on the OELA website. If you go to www.ed.gov/OELA and click on the NAM 2016 competition under What's New, it'll take you directly to the applicant information site. As mentioned, this is the second and final webinar for technical assistance. The first webinar was held last week on April 1st and provided an overview of the NAM program, competition, and application process. If you missed that webinar, you can find the PowerPoint slides and audio recording on the NAM website listed here. Please note that all webinars are being recorded. The slides and the audio will be posted on the NAM applicant information site. So today during the webinar, all phone lines will be on mute. However, we do encourage you to submit questions in the chat box as we present. The chat box, if you look on your screen, is located on the right-hand side, which is on the lower right-hand side. We will do our best to answer your questions as we move through the slides, though we have reserved time at the end of the webinar for general Q&A session. In addition, we encourage you to review the frequently asked questions on the NAM website. So the first webinar last week focused on providing potential applicants with a brief overview of the NAM 2016 grant competition, including the application process, selection criteria, competition priorities, budget information, and other important resources. Today's webinar will focus on the Government Performance and Reporting Act, performance measures known as GEPRA, and we'll delve deeper into the selection criteria. The selection criteria details how your applications will be rated and scored by the panel reviewers who will read and score your applications. Additionally, we will provide a brief overview of the competition priorities, then elaborate more on the competitive preference priority and the invitational priority. We encourage you to like the OELA Facebook page to receive updates. Again, the webinars will all be recorded and archived on the NAM applicant information site for your future reference. So these are the topics we plan to cover in today's webinar. On the next three slides, we'll provide a brief overview as a reminder of the NAM program. So grantees have flexibility in designing programs to meet local needs to improve academic attainment of ELFs. Projects funded under this program may be used for teacher training, curriculum development, and evaluation and assessment to support the core program of student instruction and parent community participation. Student instruction may comprise preschool, elementary, secondary, and post-secondary levels, or combinations of these levels. We have also received a number of questions so far about the annual grant award. To clarify, NAM awards range from $250,000 to $325,000 per year for each year. That means that the maximum award per year is $325,000. Totaled over 5 years, the maximum award would be about $1.6 million, which is $325,000 multiplied by 5. The maximum award is an increase over past NAM grant competitions. So we've also received a number of questions around eligibility since our last webinar, and we wanted to take a moment to elaborate these requirements further. To assist in determining eligibility, a potential applicant is encouraged to pose the following three questions. One, does my project propose to carry out programs for individuals served by elementary, secondary, and post-secondary schools primarily for Native American students, including Alaska Native, Native Hawaiian, and Native American Pacific Islander children? Two, is my organization or school one of the following? Indian tribes, tribally sanctioned educational authorities, Native Hawaiian or Native American Pacific Islander Native language educational organizations, elementary schools or secondary schools that are operated or funded by the Bureau of Indian Affairs or a consortium of such schools, elementary schools or secondary schools operated under a contract with or a grant from the BIE in consortium with another such school or a tribal or community organization, or elementary schools or secondary schools operated by the BIA and an institution of higher education, or IHE, in consortium with elementary schools or secondary schools operated under a contract with or a grant from the BIA or a tribal or community organization. So for reference from the previous slide, we're going to focus here on 4, 5, and 6. And the final question is, if I am 4, 5, or 6, which is listed above, but I'm not a BIA school, for example, a regular public school, do I get funding from the BIA? Applicants that believe it is relevant to determining their eligibility should feel free to identify any BIA funding they receive or benefit from. Applicants may also wish to note the total number of students in the school or schools being served and the number of those students that are Native Americans. As an added example, if a tribal government receives Johnson O'Malley funds, even if those funds are consolidated within a block grant and a school benefits from those funds in some way, then that school would also be eligible for a NAM grant. We also want to ensure that you're aware of the resources on the NAM applicant information site. You can access the NIA application package, FAQs, links to the webinars, and other relevant information on this website. We encourage you to check out the information on the site first before submitting any questions at nam2016@ed.gov. You can access the NAM applicant information site by clicking on the link noted here or by simply going to the OLM main page at www.ed.gov/OELA and clicking on the NAM 2016 competition under What's New. So a few important dates to note for everyone. As you know, the applications became available on March 25th. We held our first webinar shortly thereafter and continue to invite you to submit questions if those aren't answered yet. Applications are due May 24th, 2016. Applications will then be reviewed and the department will make awards in August. Your grant period can begin after awards are announced. So now I'm going to turn it over to Steve to talk about BEPRA.
Hi, everybody. In the next few slides, we will provide a brief overview of the Government Performance and Results Act, also known as GEPRA. Under GEPRA, federal departments and agencies must clearly describe the goals and objectives of programs, identify resources and actions needed to accomplish goals and objectives, develop a means of measuring progress made, and regularly report on achievement. One important source of program information on successes and lessons learned is the project evaluation conducted under individual grants. Applicants should develop a thorough understanding of the NAM program GEPRA measures and propose an annual and final measurable target for each of the GEPRA measures based on the first year baseline data. Applicants should include information on how these targets will be met in their application narrative. Please note that the GEPRA measures have changed from prior NAM grant competitions. It is important to note that not all GEPRA measures will apply to all programs. There are 9 GEPRA measures for the 2016 NAM grant competition. Applicants should only address the GEPRA measures relevant to their program design. Again, not all GEPRA measures will apply to all programs. GEPRA Measure 1 is relevant to all NAM programs and asks the applicants to report the number and percentage of English learners served by the program who scored proficient or above on the state reading assessment. GEPRA Measure 2 is relevant to all NAM programs, asks applicants to report the number and percentage of ELs served by the program who are making progress in learning English as measured by the state-approved English Language Proficiency ELP assessment. GEPRA Measure 3 is relevant to all NAM programs, asks applicants to report the number and percentage of ELs served by the program who are attaining proficiency in English as measured by the state-approved English Language Proficiency Assessment. Note that data from local assessments are acceptable for evaluation under a performance measure, only in cases which a grantee is in a state that is undergoing an assessment transition. GEPRA Measure 4 is relevant to all NAM programs and asks the applicants to report the number and percentage of students served by a NAM program, a NAM grant who are enrolled in native language instruction programs. GEPRA Measure 5 is relevant to all NAM programs and asks the applicants to report the number and percentage of students making progress in learning native language as determined by each grantee, including through measures such as performance tasks, portfolios, and pre- and post-tests. GEPRA Measure 6 is relevant to all NAM programs and asks applicants to report the number and percentage of students who are attaining proficiency in a native language as determined by each grantee, including through measures such as performance tasks, portfolios, and pre- and post-tests. GEPRA Measures 7, 8, and 9 are relevant to NAM programs that received competitive priority points. If you intend to respond to the competitive preference priority on improving early learning and development outcomes, you must include information on how you plan to address these GEPRA measures in your proposal narrative. We will go over this competitive priority in a later part of this webinar. GEPRA Measure 7 asks applicants to report the number and percentage of preschool children ages 3 and 4 enrolled in the program. GEPRA Measure 8 asks applicants to report the number and percentage of preschool children ages 3 and 4 who are screened for developmental or cognitive delays. Finally, GEPRA Measure 9 asks applicants to report the number and percentage of coordination contacts between elementary schools and early learning programs to improve coordination and transition of children from preschool to kindergarten. To review, applicants must first identify the baseline data for each of the GEPRA measures relevant to their project based on existing circumstances. Next, applicants must state proposed annual performance outcome targets for each of the GEPRA measures relevant to their project. The proposed targets must be ambitious, yet achievable. This information must be included in the application narrative. We will provide additional technical assistance on the GEPR measures to all NAM grantees after the awards have been announced and throughout the grant cycle. Also, as mentioned in webinar number one, all NAM awardees will be required to submit an annual performance report, or APR, that addresses both the GEPR measures and project-specific performance measures. The APR is used to help determine continuation funding for grantees. I will now turn it over to Fenju, who will talk about the selection criteria. Fenju?
Hello, everybody. In the next few slides, we will provide a brief overview of the selection criteria. The selection criteria are the criteria against which the peer reviewers score each application. The department initially ranks applicants based on the peer reviewer scores. So clearly address the selection criteria is critical. The application narrative should be organized in four labeled sections that correspond and follow the order of the four selection criteria. The maximum scores that any applicant may receive on the four selection criteria is 100 points. The page limit for application narrative is 35 pages. Please review the four selection criteria and the sub-factors for each of the criterion on page 18, 19, and page 91 to 94 in the NIA. There are four selection criteria on which your application will be scored. The four selection criteria are quality of project design, quality of project personnel, quality of the management plan, and the quality of the project evaluation plan. The selection criteria and the related subsections are taken from the Education Department General Administrative Regulations, known as the EDGAR. As mentioned, the maximum score for these four selection criteria is 100 points. This does not include the additional points you could receive for the competitive preference priorities. Section 1 of the selection criteria, quality of project design, is worth up to 45 points and has three sub-factors. The first sub-factor focuses on the extent to which the goals, objectives, and outcomes to be achieved by the proposed project are clearly specified and measurable. The second sub-factor focuses on the extent to which the design or implementing and evaluating the proposed project will result in information to guide possible replications of project activities or strategies, including information about the effectiveness of the approach or strategies employed by the project. The third factor focuses on the extent to which the proposed project is supported by strong theory as defined in the NIA. The strong theory definition is on page 70. Section B is a quality of project personnel worth up to 10 points and has two sub-factors. The first subfactor focuses on the extent to which the applicant encourages applications for employment from persons who are members of groups that have traditionally been underrepresented based on race, color, national origin, gender, age, or disability. The second subfactor focuses on the qualifications, including relevant training and experience of the project director or the principal investigator. Applicants should address qualifications of personnel in the narrative response to the project personnel criterion. In addition, applicants may want to describe relevant training and experience of key personnel who are current employees, which may include, for example, the project director, the project coordinator, project evaluator, and other partner staff. Applicants are requested not to submit resumes, but can instead provide position descriptions for key personnel, including current staff, as well as those it expects to recruit as an attachment. Section C, quality of the management plan, is worth up to 25 points and has two subfactors. The first subfactor focuses on the adequacy of the management plan to achieve the objectives of the proposed project on time and within budget, including clearly defined responsibilities, timelines, and milestones for accomplishing project tasks. The second subfactor focuses on the extent to which the time commitment, also called the level of efforts, of the project director, principal investigator, and other key project personnel are appropriate and adequate to meet the objectives of the proposed project. Finally, Section D, quality of project evaluation, is worth up to 20 points and has two subfactors. The first subfactor focuses on the extent to which the methods of evaluation are thorough, feasible, and appropriate to the goals, objectives, and outcomes of the proposed project. The second subfactor focuses on the extent to which the methods of evaluation will provide performance feedback and permit periodical assessment of progress toward achieving intended outcomes. Again, please review the details of the selection criteria on pages 18, 19 and 91 to 94 in the NIA. I will now turn it back over to Francisco to talk about competitive priorities.
Thanks, Minju. We're going to talk about the priorities in just a second, but I want to remind folks that if you do have questions, you can submit those in the meantime on the right-hand side of your screen in the chat function. If you do not see it, then make sure that on the upper right-hand side of your screen, the chat function is turned on, and you can do that by clicking it, and it should turn blue. Just want to remind everyone that that's an option. So all applicants must address the absolute priority, which is noted here, speaks to supporting the teaching, learning, and studying of Native American language while also increasing the English language proficiency of the children served under such a project. There is, for this competition, one competitive preference priority for which an applicant may receive additional points, and that is early learning and development outcomes. And finally, there is one invitational priority, which is parent, family, and community engagement. Applicants should address these priorities in the application narrative. So stated in the previous slide, all applicants must address this absolute priority. Applications that do not address the absolute priority will not be read. Applicants who choose to address the competitive preference priority may receive up to 5 additional points as part of their total final score on their application rating. Applicants addressing this should develop projects that are designed to improve early learning and development outcomes across one or more of the essential domains of school readiness for children from birth through third grade or for any age group within this range, through a focus of one or both of the following: increasing access to high-quality early learning and development programs and comprehensive services, particularly for children with high needs, and improving the coordination and alignment among early learning and development systems and between such systems and elementary education systems, including coordination and alignment in engaging and supporting families and improving transitions for children along the birth through third grade continuum, in accordance with applicable privacy laws. The literature suggests that educators who involve families in their children's education can strengthen their instructional effectiveness with English learners. Families and communities are important resources for the teaching, learning, and studying of the native language. Accordingly, the NAM grant competition includes an invitational priority related to improving parent, family, and community engagement as defined in the NIA and sustained partnerships also defined in the NIA. Please note that applicants who choose to address the invitational priority receive no additional points. Now I'm going to turn it over back to Steve to talk about the review process.
Thanks, Francisco. We will now provide a brief overview of the application review process. Reviewers will read the entire application and score all selection criteria A, B, C, and D. In addition, the reviewers will also score the competitive preference priority for those applicants that choose to address it. An initial rank order of applications will be developed based on the peer review evaluations. A final rank order of applications will be developed and used to award the grants. And note that prior grant performance may be considered. Again, each of your applications will be read by expert peer reviewers. The reviewers will be provided with suggested point ranges to determine if your application has fully addressed, well addressed, adequately addressed, poorly addressed, or not addressed each criteria. This suggested scoring rubric and information on the selection criteria can be found in the application package. We encourage you to read through the relevant sections in both the NIA and the application package if you would like more information on how your application will be scored. As you can see here, the 4 selection criteria are listed on the far left column with the maximum point value. Then, depending on the quality of your response, it could receive a point value of 0 up to the maximum point value for that selection from the reviewer. As mentioned earlier, peer reviewers will review and score the competitive preference priority using the suggested scoring rubric illustrated on this slide and can be seen in full on page 19 of the application package. They will award points from 0 up to 5, dependent on the quality of your response. Peer reviewers will review and score applications against the established selection criteria. Peer reviewers will come from varied backgrounds and professions, including native language preservation and revitalization, immersion language programs, early learning and school readiness, birth through third grade, parent, family, and community engagement, and professional development or teacher training. All reviewers will be thoroughly screened for conflicts of interest to ensure a fair and competitive review process. I'll now turn this back over to Francisco for final points.
Thanks, Steve. So we're just going to make sure to make you aware of a few reminders on the application process as you work to finalize your applications over the next month. Again, a very important date. Applications are due May 24th, 2016, by 4:30 p.m. Washington, D.C. time, and they must be submitted electronically via the grants.gov system. And that process was outlined in the webinar last week, so you can access that webinar on our website as well. So here is a screenshot of the application checklist to assist you in the application process. Parts 1, 2, 4, and 7 refer to required forms that must be submitted as part of your grant application. Part 3, the project narrative, is the meat of your application and must address the 4 selection criteria we reviewed in today's webinar. Part 5 is a 1-page project abstract that briefly describes your program. Please see the FAQs for a helpful outline of the project abstract. And Part 6 are other forms that you must submit, including letters of support or MOUs from the entities you are working with, position descriptions for key personnel, remember not resumes, and your indirect cost rate agreement. Each of these sections is outlined in detail in the application package. There are also some helpful resources we wanted to share with you as you continue working on your applications. We want to remind folks that NAM competition information, again, can be found on the NAM applicant site, which is listed on top here in this slide. And in addition to the two pre-application webinars, we've listed here general resources in the following slides that can also serve to help with developing your application. And we're going to slide through this slowly here, but quickly as well. But we do want to remind everyone that these slides will be available on our NAM applicant website. Okay, so at this time, we are dedicating this last half hour to open it up to your questions if you have any. And as a reminder, submit your questions via the chat box on the right side of the screen. We're going to hold for a few moments to wait to see if you all have any questions that have not been answered so far.
Lawyers.
So we're still just waiting for questions. We've got one. So the question is, are there advantages to including the invitational priority? Again, we are not, as we said, we're not assigning additional points to the invitational priority. We encourage you to do so if you're able to meet that priority, but from the application's perspective, in terms of quantifying and scoring the application, there are no additional points given to that. We received one more question, and we're just going to go ahead and put you all on hold for just a moment while we deliberate. So we got we received a question from regarding annual reports and performance measures, depending on the entity that you represent or work in. And the answer is, it's a simple yes. The GEPRA measures are for everyone who submits an application and are required to subsequently submit reports every year. I'm going to give a few more seconds for wait time. Thank you for patiently holding. We just want to remind folks we haven't dropped off. We're still receiving a number of questions and are combing through them. Thank you. Thanks for waiting. We had another question come in around whether or not there is a form for eligibility certification, and the short answer is that there is no form per se. As you recall, in the earlier part of the webinar, we went over a very nuanced situation in which someone could be eligible to be a NAM applicant. And because of that, because it has several components, we have no one standard form for it. We encourage you to explain in your actual application how you are considered an eligible entity for this program.
Provide the documentation.
And exactly.
Supporting documentation.
Right. Thank you, Fengju. And provide and support any documentation as appendices as well. So we're going to go ahead and put everyone back on hold for just a second. Hi, we received a question around students reported under Title III eligibility for services under the NAM grant. We're going to turn this over to our program attorney, Juan Petraca.
Yeah, the issue that we're concerned with the Title III NAM grant is a situation where an LEA that has a school or schools that meet NAM eligibility and therefore receives a NAM grant can't be double funded. In other words, you can't be paid by us under both the Part A grant and the NAM grant for the students that you're serving under the NAM grant. And the way we address that is you can serve under your NAM grant any student that's eligible to be served under that grant, but all your EL students that are being served under that NAM grant could not, for purposes of receiving the subgrant from the state under Part A, be counted under that program. And if we haven't already, we should have an FAQ on that question. This is probably the kind of thing you need to read a few times, since it's a bit of a puzzle.
Right, and if you look in your FAQs through the application package, I'm sorry, there's a number of sections where we explain this. But if you can look at FAQ number 5, it gets to that citation, and so you can look at that for your reference as well. We're going to go ahead and put everyone back on hold for just a second. We received a question around where to place eligible information. I mean, that would make you an eligible entity. I'm sorry. So that it doesn't count 235 pages in your narrative, you have the option of either including, as we mentioned earlier, an appendix that will elaborate on how you are eligible, or on Part 6 of the application package, which speaks to that as well. Thank you for that question. We'll put everyone back on hold while we wait to receive any additional ones.
This is just a friendly check-in. We still haven't dropped off. Just waiting a few more moments to see if any other questions come in. Thank you. We're still here. Just want to make sure that folks are aware of that. Looks like we're not getting any more questions at this point. We'll give it a few more moments. Do want to remind everybody that if your question wasn't either thoroughly answered or if you have some follow-up clarification questions or if you have any other questions for that matter, to submit them to the NAM 2016, that's NAM2016@ed.gov box. And, you know, we will review that and get back to you. So we'll just give it a few more moments to see if any other questions come in. Thank you. Okay, thank you for waiting. It seems like there are no more questions, and so we'll be happy to give you back 10 minutes. And so we just want to remind folks that this was the second webinar and final one with the TA. So At this point, the next upcoming deadline is the intent to apply, which is due April 14th. Note again that you can still apply if you don't submit an intent to apply, and that really is just helpful for the department in planning for the competition and review process here. So we thank everyone for joining, and we look forward to hearing from you. Thank you very much. Operator, you can now disconnect the call.
Thank you. That concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.